There's about 5,000 plants in here on almost half a hectare. It's a hard number to compare with the way they grow wasabi in most of the rest of the world. No one does it like we do.
Most greenhouses are designed to keep heat in, but not this one at North Down in northwest Tasmania. In here, Stephen Welsh is creating a unique microclimate to grow his precious wasabi plants. And that means getting the heat out and keeping the air cool and moist like a Japanese stream. Hello, I'm Margot Kelly. Stephen's the co-owner of Shimmer Wasabi, a boutique Tasmanian enterprise that supplies wasabi leaves and stems to around 60 of Australia's top restaurants. And there's plans to expand with a second multi-million dollar greenhouse in the pipeline.
If you have a look around the greenhouse, we've got some fairly high-tech systems here to keep it cool. We've got high-pressure fogging, which are those lines above us there. We've got automated shade screens that are reflective foil, and they will move in and out depending on what the day's doing in terms of temperature and sunlight energy coming through to the crop.
So automated?
Automated, yes. We've got a fairly expensive computer in the control room behind us and a couple of climate sensors that are hanging from the roof in the greenhouse. And they're looking at what conditions are happening in the greenhouse. There's a weather station outside that's looking at the weather we're getting outside as well. And then the controller uses roll-up vents on all the sides. We've got roof vents, the screen I mentioned, the fog I mentioned, and the irrigation system. And it uses all those things in combination all day to keep adjusting as much as it needs to keep the crop in that sweet spot for the temperature and the light levels and so on that it likes.
Can I have a look at... I've never actually seen an authentic wasabi stem.
Come back this way. There's a couple of really good ones back here starting to kick in. You can see already this plant's getting a lot wider. It's got a lot more younger and lush foliage on it, like these young leaves. That's the sort of leaf we would sell to restaurants.
All right.
And there's a really nice one there, really nice size and very heart-shaped and glossy and green. And so the whole crop will end up doing that over the next couple of months. It'll just almost jump out at you. It gets a lot higher, a lot wider, and this huge flush of new leaves come over them. And then it translates that growth into the stems, which are the really valuable bit that the chefs use to make that fresh wasabi paste. Have a nibble on that if you like.
Oh, really?
So the leaf's quite mild, and the best thing you can do is chew it on your molars, and rather than just scoff it down quickly, and you'll actually get a bit of flavour sort of developing as you chew it a bit longer. So the leaves are more about the presentation, the look, and there's a little bit of that sort of nasturtium, peppery, rocket kind of flavour. Then if we go a little bit further, let's pick a stalk on a more mature leaf. There's a good one. So these are the leaf stalks. So they're long and thin, much like a pencil, a little bit longer. Are you coughing there already?
Just a wee bit. I mean, it's very... My mouth is very warm, but it's a really lovely...
That's pretty wild.
Experience, yeah. I don't know how to explain that.
Let's move up to the next level then.
Oh, no.
Have a nibble on that. That's a wasabi stalk. So they're probably about twice the heat of a leaf. Still not particularly hot, but you've got the crunch and the sharp, bitter, almost Asian flavour that the stalks are so popular for. And these are used very widely in Japan. They pickle them, they blanch them, they do all sorts of things with them.
Do we use them in Aussie restaurants, these things?
To a small degree, they're certainly not as popular here as in Japan, and most of our customers that use them are Japanese chefs or Japanese trained chefs. Used in the right way, and often the easiest way is you hold them as a bunch and just cut across them like you would a bunch of spring onions, and they add quite a sharp crunch to the meal.
Yeah, but that little spurt of moisture.
But quite bitter too, aren't they? Mm. And then if you can imagine the amount of sharp, hot flavour from those... The stems, they're probably about maybe 8 to 10 times hotter than those are. And that's the flavour that really burns your sinuses and your back of your throat and makes you cry and has all those wonderful nuances that people love.
Yeah, I'm pulling a funny face because the bitterness of the stalks just totally hit my palate. Hey, can you just help me understand that, how do you have year-round supply?
See if I can find one to show you. Under a mature plant at any time, you've got a whole range of stems, which is the valuable bit. Now these are a bit small at the moment, so they need to grow a bit, but we can find a good one. That's maybe, you can see that little bud growing there, that's the top of a stem. Now the pot that's growing in is down there, so the difference between where the top of that stem is and the pot, it's probably about 100 to 125 mils big. So that stem's almost ready to harvest. And then down here there's a little baby one that might only be about 25 millimeters long. And there'll be 5, 6, 7, 8 or more of those stems at any one time on that plant. So we've developed a system where we'll only harvest out the really large stems when they're ready to go, ready for harvest. And that, for us, is about 12 months after planting. And then all these side stems will then actively grow. And we can come back anywhere between about 6 and 9 months later. And some of these will then be large enough to harvest, so we'll take them out. And there'll be some other daughter stems around them as well. And then they'll kick into growth once the main stem's taken off.
It's like shark's teeth.
It is, in a way, yeah. They just keep on growing, yeah.